Done with frizz? Say goodbye to that poof. Repel humidity and tame those flyaways. One drop, frizz stops with John Frieda Frizzy Serum. Your hair talks and frizz never interrupts. John Frieda Frizzy Serum. One drop, frizz stops.
Only from John Frieda.
Want to make your blonde blonde? Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection by John Frieda lightens and brightens hair two full shades to give you your best blonde every day. Your hair talks. Make a statement with Sheer Blonde Go Blonder Collection. Only from John Frieda.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Kings. How's everybody doing out there? I'm Jason Ross. Glad you could join us for another podcast here and another episode on the Locked On Kings Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us, following us on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, or Stitcher. Today's podcast, it's going to be a fun one for me. It's a little bit of a stretch. We're going to dream a little bit. I've always been a glass half full. Today we might be a glass completely full. Where I'm coming up with this story today, or some of the themes behind the podcast, is NBA.com was doing a thing called Summer Dreaming, and we're going to apply that to the Sacramento Kings. I'll explain that coming up on the podcast. Also, a couple other smaller stories that'll tie into the Sacramento Kings and make it all make sense, hopefully, here for the next part of the podcast. So let's jump into it with a couple different things. I'm always looking at all these NBA sites, trying to find different NBA stories, different angles, different things to portray to you guys as NBA and Kings fans. According to one of the NBA sites I found, they talked about the NBA free agency best and worst contracts. Now, there's multiple sites that have done this, but the first one I'm going to tell you about talks about the best contracts in the free agency in the offseason. This one has less to do with the Sacramento Kings, but partly related. The contracts that they recite as the best, J.J. Redick from the Sixers getting that 1 year, $23 million. And when we talked to Scott Howard Cooper earlier this summer, he talked about how he liked the Kings' offseason moves, but didn't love them because of their contracts. And he would have liked something more like the Sixers did with Redick. 1 year, $23 million, they'll be hopefully utilizing him and then done with him after 1 year, or re-sign him after that, but he probably won't get another contract as large as that. Number two, they list Patrick Patterson, who's an ex-King. He got 3 years, $16.4 million. That was a guy the Kings were looking at. I do think that's a good move for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the last one is Tyreke Evans, former King, Memphis Grizzlies. 1 year, $3.3 million. The Memphis Grizzlies needed to evolve offensively as their grit-and-grind style has resulted in profound success during recent years. That's why they signed Chandler Parsons last summer and added both Ben McLemore and Tyreke Evans this go-around. So Evans isn't the shooter that McLemore is, but he certainly can run an offense for stretches and create for others for his career. He's averaged 5 assists per game, though his playmaking decreased significantly last season. But they talk about, I mean, again, 1 year, 3.3 for Tyreke. If his knees are healthy, Tyreke will be just fine there. Now, they list the worst contracts from 3-1. James Johnson, Miami Heat. He's also an ex-King. 4 years, $60 million. He had a career year with the Heat last year. 12 points, 5 boards, 3 assists. He was even in the running for sixth man of the year, but they list him as the third worst contract. Kyle Korver, Cleveland Cavaliers. 3 years, $22 million. Every time I think of him now, I think about that big shot he missed in Game 3 of the NBA Finals. And the number one, according to this site, for the worst contracts, Langston Galloway, former King, Detroit Pistons, 3 years, $21 million. That one surprised me a lot. I mean, he got paid, and that was early in the free agency process, but good for him. Never throw shade at someone that got their money, but we'll see how that works for him in Detroit. Now, another one, this is Bleacher Report. They went by team and talked about the best and worst offseason moves from each team. So we'll just focus on the Sacramento Kings, and I'll read you what they have according to their thoughts on the Kings. Best move, the long-term deal for Bogdan Bogdanović. No, this is not Bojan Bogdanović. It's Bogdan Bogdanović. Bogdanović was 3 years removed from being drafted by Phoenix, so his contract was not under the constraints of the rookie salary scale. So that's why he got that 3-year, $36 million deal. The Sacramento Kings were about $52 million below the projected salary cap of around $99 million, giving them plenty of spending power to lure Bogdanović, who they believe will improve their perimeter shooting. Bear with me, because it may not be readily apparent how this is better move than drafting De'Aaron Fox, bringing in George Hill as an off-court mentor, or continuing to add other talents to Sacramento's expanded coffers, but it is. Bogdanovich's arrival was by no means guaranteed, as opposed to the inevitability of adding a high-impact rookie from this last draft. Now that he's on board, the Kings can feel even better about their long-term ceiling, if only because the 24-year-old is coming off a season with Fenerbahce in which he averaged almost 15 points, 3.7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, while shooting 48% from the field, 37.6% from long range, and 87% at the line. That's per RealGM.com. Now, quote, he won't be the point guard, and he's at his best when functioning as a spot-up shooter on the perimeter, but the Serbian's ability to create for others and initiate the offense is incredibly valuable for somebody who could develop him into one of the more viable scoring threats in this year's rookie class. That's Christopher Klein wrote that for Cowbell Kingdom, while arguing Bogdanovich could not only be the Kings' best rookie, but also grow into the team's leading scorer. So that's listed as their best offseason move, kind of locking in Bogdanovich. And again, I've only seen highlights. I've only seen video. I am intrigued and excited, but I think there's a little bit of a mystery of what he will be. But I think that's an exciting mystery for the Sacramento Kings. Now, the worst move, according to Bleacher Report for the Kings, is adding Zach Randolph. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, this decision to include Zach Randolph as the team's worst move was made before, of course, the latest news about Zach Randolph. The veteran power forward can still play a quality rotation piece, but adding him in addition to George Hill and Vince Carter was just overkill. The Kings never needed that many aging pieces to supplement their youngsters, and Randolph's game made him a questionable fit. Even if he performed well, he'd be taking minutes away from the plethora of front court options, Scalabrine, Harry Giles, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Yorgos Papayannis, chief among them. But now this move looks even worse. Per TMZ reports, Randolph, of course, was arrested a couple week ago in Las Vegas for possession of marijuana with intent to sell, charges that stem from him having, quote, roughly 2 pounds of marijuana in a large backpack. What will come of these charges is still unknown, but it's not a good look for a player signed by the Kings, both for his post-up play and ability to serve as a mentor for the younger members of the roster. Well, again, opinion piece is right, and someone's got to be the worst move the Kings made. The one part I would question about that, of course, we're going to question whether or not, you know, the decision and the pot and all that. I mean, that's doesn't look good. I can't even, you know, I told you I'm optimist and glass half full, even glass full sometimes. Can't spin that one in a positive way, but no need to either, really. But what I will attack a little bit is how he might take away front court minutes, which, yes, he would, literally, because he probably should play and needs to play, but from Scal, Harry Giles, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Yorgos Papayannis. Well, Papayannis, I don't believe, is going to play a lot. Harry Giles is the biggest question mark out there. Willie's still going to play, and Scal's going to play. So I don't know how much he'll be robbing those guys of minutes, but I think Dave Yeager wanted to add him. I think he's excited to have him. I think the Kings needed some veteran front court presence. They only have Kufos already, but I think Zach Randolph is skilled and will help him. And again, someone will end up being the worst move, but that's according to Bleacher Report. All right. Also, before we get to our dreaming segment, I do want to tell you that one of the note, I guess it's Kings related, but I'm sure you guys may have heard of this by now. But of course, there's a big fight coming up later this month, alleged big fight with Mayweather and McGregor. And McGregor is the heavy underdog, Mayweather, obviously, the huge favorite. There was a story a few days ago about someone that had put down a large amount of money on Mayweather to win a small amount of money because he's such a huge favorite. Well, since it has been posted that it was the Maloofs, George and Gavin Maloof, Joe and Gavin Maloof, I think were the kind of the faces of this, but they put down, I think it was $880,000. They could win about $100,000. They're now since have said they're going to donate that to charity, but I thought that was an interesting story involving former connections to the Sacramento Kings. All right, now let's get to the dreaming segment, the kind of the creativity I went for today in the podcast. If you check out NBA.com on a daily basis, they call it their subject Summer Dreaming. So it's kind of looking ahead for 2017-2018. And they've got their Coach of the Year, all the awards for next year. And some of the stories have been released, some haven't yet. But that got me thinking, how can the Kings jump into that party? Now, we're dreaming here, remember. They're not supposed to be a great team win-loss record. But how could they get, and who would be the best candidates for these potential awards? So that's what we're going to do. Do a little dreaming today. And I'd be curious your opinion on some of my thoughts on this. So certainly if that's for the Friday mailbag, you know how to do it. Jason.Ross at CBSRadio.com or feedback on Twitter at Jason Ross 1140. So the way the summer dreaming goes, there's basically seven categories of postseason awards. First one is Coach of the Year. Now, for the Sacramento Kings, it's obviously the only one coach. It's Dave Yeager. And in reality, he probably has a decent chance at this award. I say that only because if the Kings are very successful, he's going to get a ton of credit. Now, in the article, they talk about Greg Popovich. They talk about Scott Brooks. They talk about Eric Spoelstra, Steve Kerr, kind of all the usual suspects, and Brad Stevens. But if you think about Coach of the Year, could that be something that Dave Yeager gets? Obviously, not likely, but let's paint. We're dreaming, right? You paint a 45-win season, a top six seed, he's going to get a ton of consideration for Coach of the Year. Another one in the summer dreaming category is Executive of the Year. Well, obviously, if the Kings were to win that, that would go in the hands of Lotte Divots. The one they mentioned on NBA.com, that the candidates, Daryl Morey, Danny Ainge for their busy offseason, Bob Myers is always going to be considered. They even put Magic Johnson up there, Sam Presti as well. Vlade, I think, has done a good job. We all talked about the loss of Scott Perry, but they've made moves already to fill him with his spot with Brandon Williams, and I do think the Kings have had a good offseason. People have acknowledged that, and we'll see where that one ultimately goes. But the coach and GM, Executive of the Year, pretty straightforward. Comeback Player of the Year, according to the Summer Dreaming line of thinking here from NBA.com. The players they talk about, Justice Winslow, Ben Simmons, Chandler Parsons, Jabari Parker, and Tony Parker. Tony Parker's a weird one because that was at the very end of last year. But who are the Kings that could be candidates for that? And that list, I don't know who that could include. I don't think Harry Giles, because he's a guy that was hurt and hasn't played a lot, could even get that. If he has a great season, he'd be Rookie of the Year. I don't know that there's anyone on the Kings roster that's a strong candidate for that topic, but the one could be, as an ex-King, would be Rudy Gay. If he goes to San Antonio after only playing 30 games last year and really thrives with Popovich and that Spurs team, he's definitely going to be a candidate for Comeback Player of the Year. All right, most improved player on the Summer Dreaming NBA.com site, they talk about Karl-Anthony Towns, which I think he's going to be an MVP-type candidate, Miles Turner, Kristaps Porzingis. They even put the Greek Freak on there, and Yusuf Nurkic, Brandon Ingram from the Lakers. Well, I don't know that any of the veterans will be categories in that category for the Sacramento Kings. Then you have to look at the young guys. Bogdanović can't get it. He hasn't played here yet, so you're not any of the rookies. You're really looking at a small group. Scal would be a good candidate for most improved player. Buddy Hield, I think, would be a good candidate for most improved, and certainly Willie Cauley-Stein. But I think if you try to say you're dreaming and someone that had a great year, I think someone that jumped from one spot to another, Scal, to me, is the one that would have the best chance, if we're dreaming again, for the Sacramento Kings. And it's very slanted as I'm saying this. I'm recording this wearing a Sacramento Kings shirt. Scal would be the best candidate, I think, for most improved player in 2018 for the Sacramento Kings. All right, the other four remaining awards they have not addressed yet. They will be over the coming days. Sixth Man Award is what they talk about, and I'm sure you know you're going to hear the usual suspects of Eric Gordon, Jamal Crawford, Andre Iguodala, those type of guys around the league. But as far as the Sacramento Kings, this one's tricky, and I would think, to me, one of the leaders potentially for that, if we're dreaming and we're relating this to the Sacramento Kings, I think that's got to be a split between either Buddy Hield or Bogdanović. Those two guys, I think, will come in and be effective, put up good stats. Which one's going to be the one that's coming off the bench? I still think the best role for that, and I've heard a lot of people say, is Buddy Hield. So I guess I'll lean Buddy Hield as the best candidate for the Sacramento Kings to be NBA sixth man. Again, this is slanted all to the Kings and our summer dreaming for the Kings, but you let me know if you think differently as the best sixth man candidate that Sacramento has. All right, Defensive Player of the Year. This is slim pickings. The Sacramento Kings have not been a great defensive team. They have not had many players that have represented them on the all-defensive team over the years. They just haven't. Doug Christie, Ron Artest, a few different players, but that has not been an area of strength for the Sacramento Kings. Dave Yeager had a good defensive team in Memphis. He's trying to make this a better defensive team. When I look at the roster, the way it's constructed right now, to me, the best defensive players and the players with the most defensive potential are Garrett Temple and Willie Cauley-Stein. Willie is pretty good on switch outs, guarding multiple positions, protects the rim okay, rebounds at a decent number. But to me, the guy that has the best chance, if we're dreaming for the Sacramento Kings at defensive player of the year, I think it's Garrett Temple. Now, Garrett defends all of the best perimeter players. I don't know how much run he's going to get on a consistent basis, but Coach Yeager is going to put him on from Kevin Durant to James Harden to Russell Westbrook to Chris Paul to Kawhi Leonard probably. He has to cover so many different types and styles of players, and he's really good at it. But I just there's not enough people nationally that know how good of a defender he is. But I would say if we're dreaming for the Sacramento Kings and the best candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, on my list, it would be Garrett Temple. Now, let's go to another one that's tricky, and because of how many young guys the Sacramento Kings, Rookie of the Year, of how many they have. And it is, to me, looks like, by all accounts, to be a very good draft class. It was projected that way. It's kind of played out that way so far through Summer League. And again, that's not full evaluation, but people are very high on guys like Jason Tatum, Dennis Smith, certainly Lonzo Ball, De'Aaron Fox, Markelle Fultz. The draft seems to be loaded. You put Ben Simmons in there now as a rookie, technically, because he didn't play a year ago. So the rookie class, it's going to be a tough field to navigate through. But if we're looking at the Kings candidates, we're talking about Harry Giles. Well, people love his talent, but too much of a question mark. Where are his minutes going to come? Is he going to play much? Justin Jackson, who really grew on me in the summer league, I liked what he did there, but I don't know if there's enough high-level play to overcome that other star power with rookies. Frank Mason, I think, is going to be a tough guy for Coach Yeager not to play, even with Fox and Hill, but you know how many realistic minutes is he going to get? So the best candidate by far to me for the Sacramento Kings, if we're dreaming as a rookie of the year, it's De'Aaron Fox. He's why they wanted him at one, they got him at five. They love him. He's a big part of what this team hopes to be as their future. And when I say almost every podcast that the Kings need some of these or one of these young guys to develop into a star, to me, he is the best candidate for that. And he is definitely the best candidate for Rookie of the Year. The last one is the league's best award, the most prestigious individual award, and that is the Kia Most Valuable Player. I don't know. I don't know who I would even say for the Sacramento Kings, and we're dreaming here. So if we're saying this is just a magnificent season, the team gelled, took off, who would be that player that would stand out above the rest and have an MVP season, an MVP of the league? Again, I know we're dreaming and we're putting our Kings glasses on. It is so hard to even visualize this. You're just taking out LeBron from your mind and Durant and Russell Westbrook and James Harden and the Greek Freak and Karl Anthony Towns and all these amazing players. And we're assuming the Kings are going to have a world-class season, one of their best ever in Sacramento, and someone is going to be responsible as their best player for the MVP. When you think of that, I mean, just close your eyes even as you're listening to this podcast. So now I'm doing it right now. My eyes are closed. I'm thinking of just Golden 1 center, off the hook, fans at a fever pitch because this team is winning 60 games with this current roster. But who's the face that comes up that you go, that's the reason? Is it Randolph? Is it George Hill? Is it De'Aaron Fox? Is it Scalabissiere? Is it Willie Cauley-Stein? Who would it be? I mean, again, we're dreaming here. We're trying to visualize our summer dreaming series slanted 100% to the Kings. Who would have the ability on this roster to be named league MVP when there isn't currently an all-star on the team? Zach Randolph has been an all-star. Vince Carter has been an all-star. I can't imagine either one of those guys, honestly, being at the forefront of this. They've got some excellent role players. It feels like Bogdanovich, it's too early to call that. De'Aaron Fox, probably too early. I'm landing between two players. And again, this is where I want your feedback probably for the Friday mailbag. The two names that are jumping out that when my eyes close that I can see having just amazing seasons, potentially being responsible for, again, we're dreaming big, for an MVP season, it's between Buddy and Willie. And I may be crazy there. Whoever you suggest is crazy, obviously. I think I'm going to finish and land on Willie. I really was impressed with how he finished the tail end of last season. I know we're all impressed with what Scal can be and may have a higher ceiling. Willie's got a little bit more experience, a little bit more well-rounded, a little bit more of a mature. If we're dreaming big, I would say, and again, I just can't even imagine what gaudy numbers would look like for Willie, but I think he could be a guy that has a higher assist total, kind of fills the stat page, a steal or two, blocks, a couple blocks, if we're dreaming big for him. Five, can he get to five assists as a playmaker, a high post? Get close to 10 rebounds and a high number of points. Again, we're dreaming, but that would be the one I land on. Again, let me know on that one where you guys fall in line, but it was kind of a fun exercise to think big for the Sacramento Kings. Hopefully you enjoyed today's podcast. We will be back with more, of course, as the week goes on, as we do this each and every day. Tell a friend, let them know we're out there. And some days we have guests, some days we get creative. And today we went out there a little bit, but I'd be curious about your perspective on what we attempted to do today. If we were dreaming big, this was a lot of Kings love. And felt kind of good thinking that way. We'll see where it ultimately goes. But thank you so much for listening. Follow us on Audioboom, on Google Play, on Stitcher, and on iTunes. Subscribe there. It's free. It'll be waiting for you on demand whenever you want it. So thanks so much for listening. Back again tomorrow with another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Yes, you know.